I've told all of you or talked to you about this circuitous journey that I am on towards becoming an ordained United Methodist pastor. It provides me with any number of ways to hone my skills to become a better pastor, to serve you and this church. And I was recently in a covenant group of my peers led by a senior pastor. That pastor looked me in the eyes and said, "Eddie, you are a colossal failure." And well, there's more of you than, well, anyway, so. I am accustomed to taking a lot of abuse, but I'll admit to being taken aback by that one. But he went on to explain to say that I had failed at ignoring God's call in my life. You see, I spent a lot of time and effort and years trying to get out of this. And so far, it's not worked. You see, God has called me to do whatever small things that I can to help bring his kingdom to earth, that I am called to be different. I am called to transform myself. And it's taken me years to realize that. We as United Methodists all believe that we are called to be just a little bit different, not just to live in this world, but to transform this world. So much so that the mission statement of our church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of our world. We're so serious about this that we believe that we start out with the disciples, all of you sitting here this morning, and then we leave here and we go out and we take the church and make a difference in the world around us, in our own communities. We find these instructions to be biblical. 1 Peter 4, "And serve each other according to the gift each person has received as good managers of God's diverse gifts." So no matter what gift or talent you have, God has a way of using that, regardless of whether or not you think you have any. God believes in you. In Romans that Tom read for us. I love that translation. Love each other like members of your own family. Be the best at showing honor to each other. Don't hesitate to be enthusiastic. Be on fire in the Spirit as you serve the Lord. Our church speaks through any number of social issues. The church asks us what we are doing to transform this world, to make a difference in our communities, with our neighbors, with our church, and yes, with ourselves. Next Saturday, October 22nd, this church, First United Methodist, has dedicated a full day to serving our community. We'll meet here at 7:30 Saturday morning. We'll have a little light breakfast if I can find somebody to help pull that together. Marty will offer a blessing over all of us, and then we'll begin 14 different projects that just might take a step toward transforming our world. But I know with almost a certainty that it will transform you. And if you've heard me preach even one time, you've heard me preach about love God and love neighbor, about reaching out to those around us. It's simply a part of my DNA. It's part of who I am. I was raised up, as we say in the South, to share what it is we have. Many of you know that my mother moved on to heaven 4 weeks ago tomorrow. She was the greatest Christian that I have ever known. She was my mama, but I know that she was indeed a Christian. It's because of her that I have become a pastor who cares a great deal about social justice and about principled living. But I can tell you exactly what my mother taught me about social justice and principled living. Nothing. She taught me about taking care of other people. I witnessed as we came home from the grocery store, her stopping and leaving an extra bag on somebody else's doorstep. I was sent outside to play with the other children when she was there visiting with a single mom or a family that was living just on the edge. Is Melissa gone? Good. My mother played the piano in the little small church where we were and hated it. But the little church where we went, there was nobody else to do it. And so she sat down at those keyboards for decades. She went to see the sick, visited the hospitals. I didn't know it at the time. But my mother was a disciple of Christ. And she was doing her part to transform the world for Jesus Christ. Now we hear at First United Methodist Church claim to be about the business of making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. It's not only the mission of the global United Methodist Church, but also the mission statement of this church as well. Much of how we go about doing that comes from the leadership of this church. Your pastors can kind of set out a path for us to follow. But the work, the heavy lifting that goes with that, comes from all of you sitting here today, the members of this church. And if we are to make disciples, well, it starts here first. We have to choose to make a difference in our own lives and then in the lives of others. You see, a big part of my Christian faith is that I believe that almost everybody wants to be a part of something bigger than themselves. Everybody wants to believe. Everybody wants to serve because it makes a difference in their lives. They want to be a part of transforming this world. The problem is, too often in my experience, people don't know how to get started. They don't know what first steps to take. And that's one of the things we hope to accomplish next Saturday is to be able to create a space where you'll be able to take that step, that you might find a place where you can grow as a disciple while making a difference in our world. Now, I will tell you, you don't have to be a superhero to do outreach work. You don't have to quit your job and move to some foreign country. There's plenty of work to be done right here in our backyard. Excuse me, I'm hearing some of this for the first time too. There are people here in this church this morning that are already doing amazing ministries. People that are doing things here that are making a real difference in their lives. People that offer rides to the sick, take them to the doctor, take them to the grocery store so that they can remain independent. They go visit the sick in the hospitals. They go to the prison to be with the people there. They offer themselves as a gift by being present with these other people. They are simply willing to be in the presence of a friend. And that ministry makes all the difference in the world to these. I hope all of you know the story of Harry Farley. I remember who's gone on to his reward, but Harry spent a couple of afternoons a week, 2 or 3 hours is all, reading to little children at the elementary school, allowing them to read to him, and providing a role model, male role model, for children that might not have one. And Harry was transforming the world in his little corner. Next Saturday, you will have an opportunity to be with our neighbors and in mission. One of the projects that we'll be doing is repainting a few of the classrooms up here where the Family Promise people stay. If you don't know what Family Promise is, it's a consortium of churches that allow people who are struggling to spend a few nights here in the church until they can get back on their feet again and establish homes for themselves. But for us to fix up a few classrooms up here might not be a big deal. But when these people that are the beneficiaries of your grace heard about what we were going to be doing, they asked if they could be a part of that process. It's an example of how we really make a difference. It's when we empower other people to be able to take care of themselves, to be able to show that they are a people of worth. That's an example of where we make a difference. Former pastor of yours, Kathleen Houghton, I hope most of you remember Kathleen, as an emissary of the United Methodist Church, has created an English as a second language course in a poverty-stricken apartment complex just a few miles from here. And by poverty-stricken, I mean that 25% of the people that live there live on less than $24,000 a year. A family of four own $24,000 a year. This is not in some war-torn country around the globe, but 5 miles from where you are sitting this morning. But those people that are going to take that class are taking responsibility for their own lives. It's hard to break that cycle of poverty if you struggle with the language. We posted a flyer in that apartment complex about the upcoming class. We had room for 10 students, and 15 showed up the first night. So now we have 10 people, most of them from Pakistan, as it so happens, that are studying English and trying to create a better life for their own children. They are trying to transform their corner of the world. Oh, and the lady that leads that happens to be a school teacher who was struggling in her life. She didn't know how to get started in doing more for God. When one day her phone rang, it was Kathleen on the other end. Next Saturday, we're going to that same apartment complex and spend a day playing with the children there and making it a fun day for those that live. Another way that this church is making a difference is that we are providing laptop computers in another apartment complex in a poverty-stricken area where people can begin to take basic computer classes. You see, in today's job market, if you can't fill out an application online, even if you have the job skills, you rarely can even get an interview. And I suspect some of us here would struggle with that as well. At Armstrong Elementary School, you can almost see the school from the head of our driveway up here. We're going to go over and put in a community garden and do some yard work there, but that garden will produce vegetables for the residents and the students of that school, and they are so excited about this that they have put together a club to take care of the garden and to teach the children about growing the vegetables, and another class to teach them about how to cook those vegetables nutritiously that will make a difference in their lives. I see these things happening. Because of who I am, my heart sings. I see the church being the church. I see us leaving here and taking the church to the people of our community. I see grace at work in God's kingdom. I see people coming to the living water. And I begin to think maybe we are transforming our corner of the world. Last Sunday, Marty, your senior pastor, challenged you to dance. He suggested that we must risk ourselves in order to be able to follow Christ. He told us that the dance is never really the path of least resistance. Marty challenged us to carpe momentum, to seize the moment for Christ. He told us that it might lead us to finding something amazing in our lives. And that's what our neighbors need. They need to learn to use a computer. They need to be able to complete a GED. They need to improve their language skills. They need help fighting through our justice system. They need a ride to the doctor. They need a meal delivered to their home. They need to be loved. There are so many opportunities for us to do just that thing, visiting shut-ins. Next week, we'll be sprucing up our prayer path out here, which provides a holy place for so many in our community. We'll be doing home repairs. We'll be doing sewing clothing for children around the world. And to be a part of that, all it takes is you just step outside the back doors of this sanctuary this morning and sign up to become a part of this day of mission within our congregation, within our church. I'm reaching the end of my time with you this morning, but what I want you to leave here with today is to know that there is a place for you to serve in God's kingdom. There is something that you can do. And next Saturday might just introduce you to that the music is playing and that all you have to do is to step out onto that dance floor. Amen.